You know, for moms, you have the opportunity at times to teach our children some stuff that the dads don't get a chance to because we're not home all the time. And of course, mamas aren't home all the time either, you know. But a few things that have come to be known, it's called the truth that children learn about life. No matter how hard you try, you can't baptize a cat. When your mom is mad at your dad, don't let her brush your hair. If your sister hits you, don't hit her back. They always catch the second person. That's right. First person, yeah, they look that way, boom, you get caught. Never ask your three-year-old brother to hold a tomato. You can't trust dogs to watch your food. That's for sure. Puppies still have bad breath even after eating a Tic Tac. Okay. This is a good one. School lunches stick to the wall. And kids learn at the dinner table that you cannot hide a piece of broccoli in a glass of milk. But one thing they also learned is the best place to be when you're sad is on your mother's lap. But wisdom there. And I asked the Lord, as preparing for the day, how can I help encourage your mamas? You know, I mean, that's funny. I mean, that's hilarious. Some of the items we found. And I'm going to talk to you today, and I'll say the name wrong. My wife's up front here, feed me right. But we're going to talk about a mama today. Her name was Jochebed. I keep want to say Jocasto, but Jochebed is a mama that God brought to my heart to share this morning. But you know, I take a moment, I reflect on my own mom. She's been gone 21 years, and I think of Mother's and Mother's Day. I think my mom and her blueberry cake that she'd make so special. How she would make on your birthday, you pick out a design for your cake and she'd make it no matter what it was. My mom could make a cake look like a tractor or a basketball or anything like that. And but if I take a moment though and look through my mother's eyes, I see a different picture, I think, at times. And I think, you know, at times I could have, well, let's put it this way. Moms, you go through hell sometimes. You think you're actually walking through hell raising your children. And I remember a time myself and a good friend of mine, Gene Jones, we had this fantastic idea that we want to be out on the town all night. So at age 16, I told Mom I was going to spend the night at my buddy's house in Lafayette. And he told his mama he's going to spend the night at my mom's house in Fresno. And we took off. Well, my luck, and brother, you testify about getting a job. Well, early in the morning, we got a phone call where someone offered me employment. Oh, Mama been so excited, she called over to Creta Jones' place to get a hold of Starkey. And, oh, isn't he with you? And I realized then that, my mother had to be scared, the frustrations, worried. You know, where's her son at? 16 years old, he's not where he's supposed to be at. What happened to him? You know, of course, we couldn't go back till after school hours until late. Otherwise, I think something was up. So for about 12 hours, Mom had no idea why I was at. And just thinking what I put her through, you know, the frustration and the pain and the praying that she must have done. God, watch over and watch him, keep him safe, bring him back home to me. And I know a lot of times that's what moms go through. It's not easy being a mom. I know it's not. And today, I mean, the message this morning is brief, but it's to the point. And we're looking at Jochebed. Okay, thank you. And she was a mother to a pretty famous feller, it turned out to be. His name was Moses. Anybody hear of Moses? Yeah, amen. Okay. But what has take place here? Prior to going to Jochebed and her son Moses, is that there was a man named Jacob. He had 12 sons. Remember and how Joseph was taken captive and he went to Egypt and became found favor at Pharaoh. And man, that the whole nation was blessed. And I'm telling you, as time went on, Joseph's whole family came to Egypt and ate during the drought. I mean, they were really blessed. I mean, the way that God worked through Joseph, the Pharaoh made Joseph number two in the land. Really blessed the family. And they had anything they wanted in Egypt. But as time went on, one Pharaoh died, a new one took over, and before long, the Pharaoh forgot what Joseph had done for the family, what this family had done from Jacob. And as time went on, he started putting more pressure on the Hebrew people. See, they were in captivity, but they were free, if I may say that. They were able to do what they wanted to do, but they were actually working for the Egyptian people. And as time went on, the Pharaoh got kind of concerned because the Hebrews were really blessed, you know. Jewish people, they were God's chosen people. And they were blessed, and then they were multiplying and multiplying and multiplying. And the Pharaoh would get kind of scared. He said, whoa, we better slow these people down a little bit. So instead of being rejoicing, remember where he got all the stuff he had, how blessed Egypt was because of God's people, he started putting more and more work on the Hebrews, making work harder. And they was making bricks and stuff. And they had to work harder and produce more and produce more. But they still kept, they kept doing the work. They kept multiplying and multiplying. And finally Pharaoh thought, whoa, we got to do something here. Because they keep growing like they are, they're going to outnumber us. And they're going to take us over. In fact, at this time, I believe they outnumber the Egyptians. So he got this great idea. He says, well, I'll just have him, the midwives, when they go deliver the babies, any male baby that's born, we'll just make sure that they're killed. We'll kill the male child. And it says in the Exodus chapter 1, verse 17, it says, then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Sephar, and the other was Puah. Okay, good. Okay. And he said, when you are helping the Hebrew women to give birth and see them upon the birth stool, if it is a son, then you shall put him to death. But if he is a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt had commanded, but let the boys live. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and let the boys live? And the midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and they give birth before the midwife can get to them. So God was so good to the midwives, and the people multiplied and became very mighty. And it came about because the midwives feared God that he established households for them. Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born you are to cast into the Nile, and every daughter you are to keep alive. Again, the midwives were given an order by Pharaoh to destroy the male child when it was born. But they said, no way, you know, that is murder, and they will not do that. And they stood their ground. And God honored them because they would not obey the Pharaoh. See, there is times that we disobey. Anytime we have a law that is in direct conflict with the Word of God, we obey the Word of God and not the law. Amen? Okay, guys? I mean, and God blessed them for that. He'll give you divine favor for that. And we are back in the same days as she was, as midwives was, is that the laws are coming our way today. Some of them are in direct conflict with the command of God, the Word of God. And we are to do the same. We are to stand on the Word of God and not obey the law that is in conflict with God's law. We are to be following the authority. We are to obey the ones that place authority over us. Okay? But until it comes to be a conflict with God's law, never ever water down God's law. And that's called, nowadays, when you water it down, it's called political correctness, I believe they call that. And God is not political correct, okay? God is a correct. And what he says goes. And as time goes on, folks, every day we get more and more discouraged, I know. We get more pressures on us to maybe reduce the impact of God's laws in our life or our nation, our communities and stuff. A compromise, people say, well, can't you just compromise a little bit? No, we cannot. We cannot compromise the Word of God, no matter what it is. You know, maybe you're here today and you're sitting here and maybe you've compromised God's Word to a degree and wish you never had. Hey, repent. Ask God for forgiveness. He'll forgive you and go on. Because sometimes we can be talked into thinking we've compromised a little bit. Yeah, we'll give a little bit, take a little bit. The next thing, that little bit turns a whole lot of it, and a lot. And the old saying says, if you give Satan an inch, becomes a ruler. And it happens that way. So again, just stand on the Word of God and don't compromise it. But here we are now. Pharaoh just gave a command saying that every son who is born, you're to cast into the Nile, and every daughter you are to keep alive. Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a daughter of Levi. And this is chapter 2, verse 1. And I want to step over to Exodus chapter 6 and read you one item here. In verse 20 of chapter 6, just touching base, because a couple of weeks ago we answered the question where Cain and Abel, where did they get their wives at? Remember that? We went to Leviticus and so. Well, in verse 20 it says, Amram married his father's sister, Jochebed. All right, I said it right. And she bore him Aaron and Moses, and the length of Aram's life was 137 years. So here we go. Moses's mother was his father's aunt. Okay, do you understand that? Okay. But at this time, the law had not come down to God to stop this type of relationship. Remember, he stopped the relationship later on because of sin was growing so rampant in mankind. And if he had not put the law down on who we could marry, the next thing you know, we wouldn't be here today, because we would have, again, if I can say the word, we would have breed ourselves to extinction because sin had been so bad. Okay? So again, at this time, it was not forbidden by God. And a woman conceived and bore a son, Jochim. And went, I'm back into, yeah, I just want to make a little note here just to, thank you. She'll keep me straight. And the woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could not hide him no longer, she got him a wicker basket and covered it over with tar and pitch. Then she put the child into it and set it among the reeds by the bank of the Nile. And his sister stood at a distance to find out what would happen to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the Nile. When her maiden was walking along the Nile, and she saw the basket among the reeds, and sent her maid, and she brought it to her. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the boy was crying. And she had pity on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew woman, that she may nurse a child for you? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go ahead. So the girl went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take the child away and nurse him, for one I shall give you your wages. So the woman took the child and nursed him. And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she named him Moses, and said, because I drew him out of the water. Now it came about in those days, when Moses had grown up, that he went out to his brethren and looked at on their hard labors, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew and one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that, and when he saw there was no one around, he struck down the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And went back out the next day, and behold, two Hebrews were fighting, each one other, and said to one the other, why are you striking your companion? But he said to him, who made you a prince or a judge over us? Are you intending to kill me as you killed the Egyptian? Then Moses was afraid and said, surely the matter has become known. And Moses left. Okay, we have Moses' mom, Jochebed. Sorry, I cut it short. Jochebed. Okay, I'll just call her the big J. No, Jochebed. She's in a land of plenty, the land where her ancestors have been. She's already got two children. Her daughter, Miriam, and a son, Aaron. And I think if you all remember them, Miriam eventually would get leprosy because she would come against Moses. But God would have the leprosy removed because of Moses. And Aaron would be Moses' right hand. But these two are already born. Aaron is about 3 years old at the time. Miriam's a little older. And in order to come out, saying that any child, the male child that are born, must be thrown into the Nile, because they are trying to get the population down. They are trying to stop the reproduction of God's chosen people. They are afraid that they're going to raise up against Pharaoh. And so here, Jochebed is giving birth to a beautiful son. He's 3 months old. She tried to hide him for 3 months, and finally she said, I just can't do it anymore. So what did she do? She placed him in a basket, put him in a river, and turned him over to God. You know, she's a godly woman. From the Levites that she married into, be all the priest. You know that? Moses came from the lineage of priest. And Aaron be the first priest, yes. Amen. Amen. Yep. And so Moses was placed into the river. She turned him over to God. And, of course, being a godly woman, she'd been praying. Sent the daughter down the Nile to watch the baby. And what happened? The same thing that was coming against her, the same thing that was trying to destroy her child, takes the child out of the same water. Take him out of the water and calls the mother back to raise the child. And at the same time, they paid the mom to raise her own kid. Wow. I mean, isn't that awesome what God can do? I mean, at times, you moms have all the pressure on their shoulders, and you try to, you know, I know you want to do everything perfect, everything's got to be right. But I'm telling you, you take too much pressure on yourself. You take too much responsibility yourself. As a godly woman, man, as God gives this direction, just follow that direction. There is times that you just got to turn your kid over to God. You know, I know many of you say, I'm going to give them back to God. He sent them to me, I'll give them back to him. But she sent the child down the river. But at the same time, her husband, Amram. Now there's a historian book called Joseph. Help me say that. The historian. Josephus, thank you. Yes. Josephus, in the book of historic records, it says that Moses' father actually had a vision from God saying that Moses would be used by God. Okay? So I think that would help also when the mom placed the child into the river, knowing that God's got a plan and purpose in it. God's word doesn't come back void. You know, God doesn't change. So when she knew that Moses had a calling on his life, said, okay, God, I don't know what to do. If I keep him here, I know he'll be destroyed. And anything I can see to do is put him in the river, put him in the basket. God, he's yours. You put a calling on his life. I just birthed him, you know. You have a plan and a purpose, this son of mine. Here, you take care of him. She sent her daughter to watch to where Moses went. And next thing you know, Moses goes in the hands of the Pharaoh people. And the mom's hired back to raise it. I mean, isn't that a God thing? I mean, when you think there's no hope at all for your kid, you think, boy, there's nothing that's going to take place, and you turn them over to God, and you know God brings them back to you, and he puts you in charge of them to raise them, and you get paid for it at the same time. I mean, how awesome Jochebed must have been. She must have been rejoicing. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you. Yeah, get paid to raise it, yeah. That's a good question. You know what I'm saying? Where's your bride at? Just tell her. Don't tell her. Tell her don't put the kids in the basket today. You know what I'm saying? There was a calling on that one. There we go. I know some of you guys want to put your kids in the river, you know, but yeah, that's how the kids try to baptize the cats. They've seen the mama trying to do it, you know. Yeah. But the thing of it is that she trusted God. Now, I just wondered, you look how blessed she was. Moses was raised in the house of Pharaoh. He had the greatest education of the time. You know that? Oh, my. I mean, he had He had money, but he had clout. I mean, people knew who he was. Very attractive, very good-looking man. I mean, I could see Mama sitting back, even as, you know, I imagine at age 11 or 12, maybe he went to live in the house. I'm not sure. Or maybe 3 or 4 years old, he went to live at Pharaoh. But how Mama must have been proud of her son. There he is. You know, he's going to Yale or at Ohio State University, you know. She's not paying for it, you know. She got paid to raise him. Just all so proud of him. And then all of a sudden, she wakes up one morning and finds out her boy's taken off. Her son, who had the whole world in his hands, had everything, as the world would see it, killed a man. And took off, and he'd be gone for 40 years. Oh my, how that must have just devastated her, you know. I mean, she cried, God, what happened? You know, I did as you said. I mean, look at the promises we had. You said that he was going to do this and this and this. I wonder what the mama's heart did. Did it break? Did for a moment she forgot 40 years earlier what God had told her husband? I don't know. But Moses took off, and he was gone for 40 years on the backside of a mountain. Then at age around 80 years old, he seen this little burning bush, and it turned out to be God Almighty. And he called Moses up. Told him, take your shoes off, you're standing on the holy ground. Wow. And I believe when Moses came back to deliver the people out of bondage, I do believe his mama had passed on. I don't know how much she had saw. But I know that when she placed Moses in the basket and gave him to God, she gave him to God. And I know even yourself, as you give your children to God, when you say, God, you know, I can't, you know, I've done all I can do. I'm placing your hands. You pray for your kids. But God, they're your responsibility. Remember, really, in reality, every mom and dad, we're just step-parents. You know what I'm saying? The real father's in heaven. And sometimes the children are estranged from him because the only way to become a child of God, again, is through John 1:12 tells us, is through accepting Jesus Christ as a Savior and Lord. So you guys take on the responsibility as moms, saying, oh man, I'm failing as a mom. But no. Listen, God gave us an order. He said, go and populate the land, okay, for him. Okay, he wanted all of us, okay? So you did that. You brought the children to the world. But God is the one that told us to do that. Life is hard right now. It's really tough. And for new mamas, and my heart goes out to you, it seems like there's more and more temptations and more things that's trying to come against you, raising your children, than ever before. But look what God did with Moses. You know, yeah, he got upset in a fit of rage. Moses killed a person, okay? He killed a man. But I'm telling you, Jesus would come along several thousand years later and say, listen, if you even think or talk bad about a person, you're killing. That's the same thing. Okay? Physically, when you talk about someone, it's the same thing. And either one, God can forgive. God forgave Moses. Have you ever done anything in a fit of rage? And you wish for a moment that you didn't do it? Yeah, there might have been a penalty to it. Moses was 40 years away from his people. 40 years. But God forgave him. God brought him back. Amen? He did the same thing with us. You know, we're separated from God because of sin in our life. But when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, man, boom, that's forgiven. We might have done, you know, if you're living in the world today without the Lord in your life, you're going through some really, really tough times. And you have no hope. You have no hope for a better time. The only hope we have is through Christ Jesus. And as you receive Him as your Savior and Lord, as you allow Him to forgive that sin that's in our life, man, He brings you back in. And just like if sin had never happened in your life, He'll never bring it back up to you again. Never will. But Moses, yes, he took off. He was despised by Pharaoh. And I can imagine a family reunion for a moment. If they sat around just thinking back a few generations earlier. Oh, remember the good old days? Remember the days of Joseph? You know, they weren't living at that time of Joseph. Oh, remember when, how life used to be. Yeah, I can imagine they just would dream about how they were number one in the land. But I'm telling you, and our sister said it earlier, our number one in the land is in heaven, okay? We need to keep our eyes set upon that. We are citizens of heaven, not here upon the earth. And I know today, maybe you have children that you're praying for. Maybe you're, man, I don't know what's going to happen. God, remember, our citizenship is in heaven. And in order to gain citizenship is accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. Now, it's whether it doesn't make any difference if it's 40 years of being a citizen on the earth before they go to heaven, or it's 1 week or one day. When they receive that citizenship, their citizenship will be in heaven. If you're sitting here today and you think, boy, there's no hope, there is no hope for my kids, there's not. Hey, I'm telling you what, there is hope. Okay, I know some of your moms, you're going through hard times, your heart's ripping out of your chest right now, but I'm telling you what, just as Jochebed saw her son turn around, you can do the same thing in your life. You know, she would eventually, or her son eventually would be, Moses eventually part the Red Sea. You imagine that, part of the Red Sea. And this is a guy that was on the wrong side of the law at one time, but God turned him around. And he parted the Red Sea. God used him to go and set the people free. His people was crying out, God help us. We're getting so much punishment anymore. We're in captivity. And God used Moses to go back where he had committed the crime at and set the people free. Amen? And look at it. Why did God have him in the first place in the Pharaoh's house? To learn the way of the Egyptians. The best way to defeat your enemy is to know your enemy, right? Well, if you're raised in a household for 40 years, you're going to know odds and ends. You're going to know how the house operates. And when God sends you back in to do what he wants you to do, you have a better, greater understanding of what needs to be done. There's not one fluke in our life. Not one. God has everything in our life. He can use it for our good. He says that. You love God, he'll take the things in your life, the good things and the bad things, and he'll use them all for our good. Just don't be afraid to allow him to do that. And don't ever get to the point you think, oh, God can't do nothing. It's too late. You know, sister, you said earlier today, oh, there's just, no, there's always hope. Okay, you don't see tomorrow. You don't know what God's got planned for tomorrow. Just like Jochebed, she had no idea. I mean, I'm going to put my kid in the basket, God, I'm going to trust you with him. It's still a woman of God, that's still hard to do, to take a 3-month-old baby and turn him loose in the Nile River. Okay? Alligators, all kind of things that came against him, you know. But God's got a plan and purpose, same as for that great grandson of yours and for your family. You know, no matter how dark it looks, our hope is through Christ Jesus. Moses would eventually write the first 5 books of the Bible with the inspiration of God. That's pretty good for a kid floating down the river, isn't it? He would receive the 10 commandments from God. Look how God took this little baby and turned him in to one of the patriarchs of his word, of the Bible. And folks, he'll do the same thing for you or me. Understand that, okay? Our God never changes. He never changes. And you're sitting here today and you got a heavy heart, either because of the moms or the children you're raising right now, or you're raised and you're looking at, man, look how they turned out. Some of you are beating yourself up because, well, pastor, I wasn't a godly woman when I had kids. Okay, well, a lot of us wasn't. You are now. You are now. You have that name of Jesus Christ. You have the blood of Christ as your weapon. Now you can intercede for your children. You know, we all can go back in life and want to change things. We can't. We just go forward. And we go forward, God, he has a way of changing things. He has a way of making things correct. And just in the moment when you're ready to bang your head against the wall, he steps in. He'll step in your life. Or maybe you're here today, and not as a mom, maybe you're here as a dad, or you're just here today. No matter what you've done in your life in the past, God's here to forgive you of that. He wants to forgive you for it. He loves you. You know, like my mama, she still loved me. When I was out running around all night long, she still loved me. She wanted to get her hands on me, I know that, but she still loved me, okay? And God the same way. He still loves us. No matter what we've done in life, God still loves us. He doesn't like what we do. At times, but he loves us. Same as mom. Mom still loved me. She didn't like what I did, what I put her through, but she still loved me. And when I went to mom and I realized what I did, I cried, God, forgive me, mom. Forgive me. You know, dad didn't say too much. Dad just took the car from me, okay? Dads, we have a way of being quiet, but moms, your heart, it broke my heart to break my mama's heart. But she forgave me. It's because she loved me. And God's the same way. I'm here to tell you today that God loves you no matter what you've gone through, what you've been through. He loves you. He wants to be in reconciliation with you through Jesus Christ. You know, sins, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, right? Every one of us has. But he sent Jesus Christ to come and die for our sins. He died for my sins, you know. January 2nd, 2000, I was born again. If I would have died January 1, I'd be in hell. Thank God that there was a preacher that was telling me how to get to heaven, you know. Thank God for the Holy Spirit convicting me that, wow, what? All cops don't go to heaven? Well, I get a lot of grins on that one, you know, yeah. Well, I'm a peace officer. No, we all sin. All sin. We all need forgiveness. And he's here to forgive you that today. So, moms, I thank you so much for giving birth to all of us. And I pray that you be encouraged. You know, some of your on top of things, your kids are out of the house. Some of your kids are just starting. Hey, I'm telling you what. God will give you, God brought you here, He'll give you the strength and the patience to raise the children. And if you're here today and your children are you're not sure where they're at, continue to pray for them. Continue to lift them up to God. I'm telling you what. Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but God comes to give us life and give it more abundantly. And He's out there right now. Maybe He's attacking your children right now. Give them to God. Give them to God. Put them in that basket. That's what our basket up here started out several years ago. We put our request. There's a lot of kids' names in here, a lot of adult children in here that we pray for. We just pray for the protection as they're going down to the river of life, that they eventually go on shore somewhere, and someone will tell them about Jesus, and their life be turned around. Amen? Amen. Thank you, moms. Be encouraged today, and I pray that you don't have to do any dishes today. And remember that God loves you. And for everyone here, that if you're here today, and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you're coming in here with a heavy heart, and you're carrying that sin burden around, God's here today to forgive your sins. All sin is falling short of the glory of God. All you actually do, Jesus does, is make a public acknowledgement of it, just to let Him know that you're sincere about it, that you're real about it. So if you want forgiveness of your sins today, you want Christ to come into your life, and I'm telling you, if you do this, your life's still going to be hard, you're still going to have rent to pay, you're still going to have utility bills, you're still going to have a wife or a girlfriend or a husband. Or boy. Okay, but what's going to change, number one, is your reconciliation to the Father. You will have your citizenship in heaven, as my sister was talking about. Then it's awesome, and God, through His Word, He starts working on everything else in our life, and He has a way of bringing things in line. As we follow the Lord, He has a way of making our life to the point of being joyful. Even in times of hardness, He'll bring joy. Come Christ today as your Savior and Lord, just actually stand up and ask Him into your life. And if this is new to you today, you say, I've never heard that before, you want to think about it, hey, good idea. Get a hold of me after church. We'll make a time set together. We'll sit down and I'll show you the gospel of Jesus Christ, that there is forgiveness of our sins. And we can be in heaven. Amen? Amen. Well, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May He cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God turn His face toward you and grant you peace. Amen. May His hand be upon you and upon your household. May His hand be upon your children's children's children. May His hand rest upon each mother. May He strengthen you, guide you, may He feel His love, and may He encourage you daily. So we give Him the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen.